The following shiur has been presented by Rav Ari Marburger, Dayan at Beis Din Mesharim and author of Business Halacha, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. Maseches Bava Metzia has been graciously dedicated by Michael and Mindy Ashley in loving memory of Pearl Sarah Bas Nosson Ashley. May the Torah studied be a merit for her neshama.
Bava Metzia Samaches. The Mishnah over here discusses the concept of an iska. I'd like to take this opportunity over the next few blah to discuss not just the halachos of an iska, but to use this as an opportunity to explain the concept of a heter iska as well. The Gemara Bava Metzia Kofei tells us that high iska is a chatzi mo v'chatzi pikadon. If two people get together, they have an idea. One of them has an investment opportunity. He's going to manage the investment. Another person is going to provide the capital, and they're going to be partners. The idea sounds wonderful. The money changes hands. The business begins. Now, all too often, the parties involved don't really bother speaking out exactly how they're going to share the profits and what happens in the event of a loss. So the Gemara tells us that Hayiska, a stam investment, if there's nothing else, no other operating agreement, nothing spoken out to the contrary, is a chatzimbo v'chatzi pikadon. We split the money in half. Let's assume $100,000 is invested. Half of that, $50,000, is considered a loan to the managing partner. Because it's a loan, the managing partner is responsible for that money no matter what happens. Because it's a loan, if there are any profits generated from that, the managing partner keeps those profits. Otherwise, that would be ribbis. The other half of the money is considered a pikadon. It remains the property of the investor. If it increases in value, it's his profits. If it decreases in value, it's his loss. So what results is a 50-50 partnership. Half of all profits and half of all losses will go to each partner. Now, this is called an iska. It's a deal. A heter iska is a device where we take a loan, essentially, and create an iska out of it. We create a partnership agreement out of it. And what we do is as follows. Instead of the malva lending the loiva $50,000, we say he's creating an iska. The borrower is taking this money, he's investing it, and the two parties are entitled to share the profits and share the losses. Now, clearly, this is not the intent of the parties. Someone who wants to lend money and wants to use a heter iska is not interested in taking any risk. And the borrower who'd like to borrow money and pay 8, 10, 12%, whatever that may be, is not necessarily interested in sharing half of the profits. So the way a heter iska does is it takes an iska, it takes a partnership, but it structures it in a way where the investor, the lender, if you will, is virtually guaranteed to get his principal plus his expected profit back. And it does so in the following way. Let's go back to our investment, our regular partnership. Reuven gives Shimon $100,000. He starts working the business. A few months later, Shimon comes back to Reuven and says, "Listen, I'm very sorry to inform you. The business venture failed. The money is all gone." So what happens next? Do they just move on? No. Reuven says to Shimon, "Prove it. I want evidence. Where did this money go? What happened to it? Where did it disappear to?" And as a partner, Shimon has a responsibility to provide the appropriate evidence. When parties execute a heter iska, they create a partnership. It's a partnership where the recipient, the managing partner, is only responsible for half of the losses. The other losses are the responsibility of the lender. But we create a tremendous burden of proof on the recipient, on the borrower, if you will. And we say as follows. We say that if you want to claim there was a loss, you've got to bring two kosher edim, two witnesses that can testify what happened to every dollar. If you claim there were no profits, and you're willing to just give back the principal, but you don't want to make any interest or profit payments, fine, you don't have to. But you've got to prove there were no profits. And the way you do that is you're going to have to make a shvuah. You're going to have to make an oath that there were no profits generated. Now, bringing witnesses about what happened to every penny of your business is extremely difficult. You first of all have to find two kosher witnesses, al pi halacha. These witnesses cannot be relatives. They cannot be negeya b'davar. They can't have any vested interest in what's going on. And they have to have very direct knowledge exactly what's going on. It's possible, but extremely difficult. And therefore, in 99.99% of the cases, the lender will get back his money because the borrower will not be able to provide the proof that he's required to bring. We then give the borrower another option. If you can't bring the witnesses, and if you choose not to make a shvuah about the profits, we'll give you another choice. Give back the principal plus 8%, 10%, 12%, whatever the agreed upon rate of return was. And by doing that, you're buying out your responsibility to make an oath. You're buying out your responsibility to bring witnesses about what happened to the investment. And you walk away and you keep all the other profits. Now, as a matter of practice, the borrower virtually always chooses this option. He either can't bring witnesses or he chooses not to. He returns the principal plus the agreed upon payment profit. The borrower is happy. The lender is happy. He received his keren v'ribis, works well for both parties. Now, for this heter, for this to apply, there are two important points. The first is there has to be a real risk for the lender. This really is an iska. It's a partnership. It's an investment. It's not a loan. And therefore, the borrower has to have the right and the ability to bring edim, to make a shvuah, and not to pay back. If he does manage to bring witnesses, there was a loss, he's not defaulting. He's not doing some terrible avla. He simply doesn't owe the money. It was a business venture. It was a partnership that went sour. And he has no liability. There are times where people will execute a heteriska, but they will take steps to ensure that the recipient, the borrower, can't bring witnesses or can't make an oath. If that's done, if he loses that option, the heteriska has no takif, it has no meaning. Now, another point to keep in mind is the fact that an iska is a real document. It's no longer a loan, it's not a borrower-lender relationship, it is now a manager, investor, investing partner, and a managing partner relationship. As such, the parties have to know what's going on. They have to be familiar with the concept of heteriska. They have to know what it means, and they have to understand it. They have to realize it's not a loan, it's an investment, and there is a level of risk. Now, another point is there's a dollar that gets paid by most iskas. Now, there's a lot of confusion about what this dollar pay, who pays the dollar and what it's for. So I'd like to briefly explain. And the source for this dollar is really from our sugya. We mentioned before that by every heter iska, it's an investment and it's a chatzi mova chatzi pikadon. If the recipient can prove there was a loss, they share the loss equally. And the way that is arranged is, as we explained before, we look at half of the money as if it was given as a loan. That on the part of the portion that's a loan, the borrower is completely responsible for, and he keeps the profits. The other half of the money we look at as a pikadon, as an investment, which the investor is responsible for both for the losses and will benefit from any profits that accrue. The problem that we have is that who's managing this investment? The recipient. The borrower, if you will. He's managing both his investment, the chatzi milva, and the chatzi pikadon as well. The half of the money that belongs to the investor keeps the profits. So the issue is that the actual management, the fact that he's providing this service to the lender, is ribis. Because essentially in exchange for the $50,000 loan that you gave him, interest-free, he is managing the chelek ha-pikadon for free. This work itself is ribis. Therefore, he has to be paid. The Mishnah discusses paying kapoyel batel, different explanations exactly how to calculate kapoyel batel. As a matter of halacha, we hold that as long as in advance, when the money was given over, when the iska was executed, the parties agree on a payment, it can be even a minimal amount. Even a dollar would be enough. And that's why most iskas call for this dollar payment. What it is it's a payment from the investor or from the lender to the borrower. And this payment is to compensate him for his services managing the iska, managing the investment. The dollar has to actually be paid. It's not enough for the recipient to be moichel. He can't just say forget about it. It actually has to change hands. And therefore, you should be careful that if you are involved in an ISCA, the lender or investing partner should pay the managing partner $1. And again, it's schar tircha. It's for his services managing the actual ISCA.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.